Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raise Nation Radio, broadcasting live from AFP Icon here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. I'm your host, Steve Lausch from One Cause, and I'm thrilled to be here at AFP Icon, where fundraisers from around the world are coming together to elevate impact and spark some change. As a proud Icon sponsor, One Cause is excited to celebrate the innovation, the passion, and some incredible work happening across the nonprofit sector. So stay tuned. We've got powerful conversations, fresh insights, and the energy of the AFP International Conference coming your way. All right, the action continues here at AFP Icon 2025. I have Nathan Chappell joining us here in the One Cause booth at the Raise Nation Radio studio. Nathan, so good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and spending just a few minutes with us here in the studio.
Yeah, it's absolutely an honor. Great to be here.
I wanted to pick your brain on one particular subject, and I realize we're just here. It's early morning. The conference has just started, so maybe there's not a lot to look back on yet. But you come with such rich background and understanding and insights on the topic of generosity, the topics of AI. And I wanted to ask you this particular question. What's one shift in donor engagement that has caught your attention in the last year, especially as it pertains to those topics of generosity and AI?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the last 2 to 3 years where we've seen the advent of generative AI become extremely accessible and affordable, you know, we've seen some really creative approaches to using generative AI to personalize the donor experience. At the same time, we've also seen organizations use generative AI to just essentially, one, or on the worst case scenario, manipulate people to give, or on the other side, to make giving even more transactional. So I think increasingly we're going to see technology play, you know, a more embedded role in all the things that we do. And we have to essentially condition ourselves to ask when and how that's appropriate. And so I see this as just the beginning of the shift, and that we're going to have to, as fundraisers, know when it's okay to say no.
And I want to double click on that word transactional. I stopped in momentarily in the update from the fundraising effectiveness project this morning. And the whole theme there while I was in the room was around transactional. Is it's just not where we need to go. It's not right. Where we can go. Tell me a little bit more about where you see us going and where we should be going, especially as we use AI and learn to use AI in ways that we should.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, for those of us that have been fundraising for a long time, I started fundraising 20 plus years ago. Yes. Giving was, you know, and fundraising was entirely relational. It was based on the depth of your relationship with someone that you can activate them and how you would engage them in true, meaningful ways. Something over the last 20 years has moved that needle. The pendulum has swung so far to the transactional, just like send more, do more, build a better mousetrap, you know, and just do that at scale. And while technology now for the first time can do personalization at scale, the potential is to make that, you know, that whole aspect of fundraising just feel even more mechanical, which is also why when you interview people who don't give to charity, some of the reasons why are either they don't trust the charity and where the money's going to go, or it's just that they're a number, like they're just being essentially manipulated by just doing more. And so I think we have to find that sweet balance of where we can use technology to amplify our impact and allow us to scale our fundraising efforts, but do it in a way that is, it puts the donor at the center of every single thing that we do.
We use that very same mantra here at One Cause, that everything we do needs to revolve around the donor. And it's not even the massive donors. It's taking one donor. Right. Those are real people with real passions. And hopefully we can connect with that passion and further our missions with it.
You know, Woodrow Rosenbaum and I have become friends, you know, deep friends over the last couple of years. And when we talk about the generosity crisis and the decline of charitable participation, you know, his argument is that we don't have a generosity crisis, we have an engagement crisis. And the thing about engagement is it doesn't have to cost money. It just has to be authentic and true and meaningful. And you can find ways to do that at scale. That's fantastic with technology. But the thing is, like, we know as donors to organizations what it means to be heard and felt and seen. We have to do more of those things and kind of get off the hamster wheel, really rethink some of our biases around, you know, just because it's worked in the past doesn't mean it's going to work in the future. And so I think there's just a lot of opportunity. And as the world becomes more transactional, just in general, the pace of innovation is faster than ever, and everyone's just like overwhelmed the competition for connection. I think with that competition for connection, people want to come back to center. They want to know what's true north. They want to feel grounded and connected in a deep, visceral way. And I think that's where nonprofits have this, like, the secret sauce is that not pretending they're part of the community, but they're being, they are a part of the community.
Right.
They are the community. And I think people are seeking that in general. And I believe that there's going to be a revival of nonprofits being those that are centered in that essence of community engagement, that this will be the day that will be a grounding force for people that are looking for that.
I love that. I love that. You know what? Let's bring in one other topic here real quick before we let you go, Nathan. You wrote a book.
Yes.
Well, you wrote a couple books,
yeah.
But your most recent book, tell us about it.
Yeah, new book actually comes out in a week.
Yes.
We have advanced copies here. We have hundreds of advanced copies here, which is great because actually they showed up at the warehouse early and they were able to ship them directly here from the warehouse at Wiley.
Fantastic.
Called Nonprofit AI. Essentially, it is by all definition, it's a guide. It's a comprehensive guide to leveraging AI for social good. And it's not just for fundraising, it's for operations and program development, program evaluation. And so for the individual who it thinks that AI is either bad and they shouldn't use it, it's going to get them to that first level. And it's like recognizing that you can have AI and use it in ways that are responsible beneficial. And for those that are deep in AI, it's going to level up their depth of knowledge on how to go outside the box. And we have tons of case studies. And it's just a lot of fun putting the book together. But it's intended to essentially serve as a reference for people to understand what AI is, what the different factions of AI are, a little bit of the history behind it, why the need for innovations more important than ever in the nonprofit sector, and then providing a framework for how to do it in a really responsible and beneficial way.
I look forward to reading it. One of the things you just said that caught my attention was the case studies. And we've done our research. We put out two different research reports each year, and one of them is from the donor side, and one of them is from the nonprofit side. And we roughly have about 1,000 nonprofits that speak into that data set. And we ask questions about AI, as do many reports. We're finding that the uptake of the willingness to learn, work with, be productive with, get positive results from AI in the course of the last 12 months has shifted dramatically.
Right. Yeah.
And so your book and the content in that is going to be well-timed. I look forward to reading it myself.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Nathan, thank you so much for stopping by.
Absolute pleasure.
All right, we're back live at AFP Icon 2025 at the One Cause booth. We are on the floor. People are moving through the aisles here. We are heading into lunch. The activity is great here, and I was able to capture and get the attention of Kevin Spikerman from Auction Packages. So glad to have you, Kevin. Oh, my goodness. We haven't seen each other, I don't think, since Raise last year.
It's been a while, but I appreciate you joining and pulling me in, and super excited to be here. He does a great job of just pulling in a bunch of different ingredients. Almost think of your fundraising efforts as like you're baking a cake and your cake is different from somebody else's cake. And there's all these ingredients here and you can kind of come and figure out what works best for you. And it may be best for you next year or the year after. So I think AFP is just a bunch of information and ideas and also encouragement.
Yes.
Fundraising is hard.
Yeah.
And I think coming here with like-minded people and being able to rub shoulders with them and share stories, I mean, that's priceless.
I love that. I love that. There's so much of that going on here. And I love our sector, Kevin, because frankly, any show you go to, there are elements of that. But man, I'm a sucker for a good metaphor. And the cake, I love that. Because it's so true. There's so many aspects of fundraising and volunteer engagement and board engagement and strategy and frankly, all the challenges, and there are people that are going through that as well. It just makes for a great environment.
If you learn here, you may not need it today, right? You might need it next year or the year after. Mm-hmm. So I think you can come to AFP and walk away with just a suitcase full of information.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of information, I want to ask you a question, and I'm excited to ask you this one. If we gave you a billboard in Times Square, so there's a picture for you to think of, to spread one fundraising truth, something to get nonprofits to think about, what would you say? What would you say through that billboard?
Oh, man, I think I would go off the top of my head, like, your board is your network.
Your board
is your
network. I love
right?
that.
And I think a lot of people in the fundraising space, like, I've talked to some organizations, right? And it's like, oh, I've got two or three people on my board, but they're not that engaged, or they don't do a whole lot, or they don't really bring new ideas. So your board is really the starting place for fundraising, right? You have to have the right people. And if they're not the right people, then maybe it's time for them to get off. but you also need to be looking for who that next board member is, because that network that they bring, their professional network, their personal network, they should bring them into the loop, and they should be your best salespeople, for lack of a better term, to spread the news about what your nonprofit's doing, what your mission statement is, and really selling people on that. So your board is your network, is what I put up.
Love that. And I want to, I know you probably have more to go in that direction, but I want to double click on something you just said there in terms of this, if I can call it recruitment, right? And that recruitment is not a box that I check until I feel like I need to check that box again. It is an ongoing, evergreen process by which I'm always keeping in mind that next person, that next two people that will energize what is going on in the dynamic of my board. But also, you're bringing now in this concept of growing that network and doing it the right way, doing it what's going to best benefit our mission.
Exactly. And I think your fundraising events could also be that launch pad, right? I mean, if you have people in the room that are raising their hand for $10,000, $5,000, whatever, pick a number, $50,000. If you don't know who they were before that night, right, you need to reach out to that person, take them out to lunch, take them out to dinner, thank them for their patronage and giving, but also see how they want to be engaged. And I think to your point, you always have to be networking and trying to look for that next board member.
Yeah. So let's say you have the board that's working for you.
Yep.
What does that look like? What does that best look like when you have the right people in the seats, the energy's high, the focus is sharp, you're cranking on all eight cylinders? How is that best rolling for a nonprofit? What does that look like?
I think a healthy board is really the launch pad for just a healthy fundraising, right? And I think they push each other, and they can look for, I'm going to go get this. Well, okay, I'll go and get this. And I think it's give or get, right? They either need to give so much or get so much, whether the get is so many people in the room. And I think one thing that I think organizations miss that is like, okay, my board member just bought a table of 10 for our gala. So check, he's done. No, what 10 people is he placing in those seats? And so being strategic about who they're placing in those seats is that just that next step of just not checking a box, but like really engaging and getting the right people in the room.
Right. Because lo and behold, those people are the next link in the chain to the next link
it
in the
chain. It
keeps going. And the next link in the chain, right?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. This is great. This is great. And I know you got a lot going on here at AFP, and I don't want to keep it too much longer, but do you have any plans on being anywhere early September, say, I don't know, San Antonio, Texas?
Looking at my calendar, I will be at the RAISE conference. Absolutely.
Kevin, you are a fixture at the RAISE conference and a great supporter of the RAISE conference. And you have been for years. Auction Packages, haven't been there for years. What are you looking forward to the most?
I really look forward to RAISE because of the people that are there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's again, it's the encouragement. Fundraising is hard. And I think taking a step out, and even if you've been to the RAISE conference year after year after year, and you're like, what am I getting new out of it? Goes back to that ingredients, right? Like you're baking a cake and you might hear something this year that is something you could take and really use this next year. So I look forward to the networking because it's just fun to meet people who are living the same life.
Yes.
Fundraising is not easy. I mean, you're basically a salesperson, right? Because you need to sell your organization's mission statement. So the RAISE conference is a staple on my calendar. That comes first in terms of like which conferences we're going to be at. And Auction Packages is excited to be there.
Fantastic. I love, my take on this is I love the content. Certainly the networking, certainly the engagement, certainly the community. That's a word I use a little bit more with RAISE more and more every year I go. Last year, the last 2 years in Nashville were fantastic. San Antonio is going to be a blast. The content's going to be incredible. Such a value for nonprofits who are looking to find that one or two conferences that they should be attending each year.
Well, where else can you go, right? I mean, even last year at the RAISE conference, right? And to sit down with an auctioneer that you would probably have to schedule time in his calendar and like, is this a good fit or not? Like you have access to some of the industry leaders, like right at your fingertips.
Yes.
And you can go back-to-back-to-back sessions with people that would take you months to get on their calendar and to network with them. So the accessibility that RAISE brings is fantastic.
That's such a great way to say it. Man, let's just call it right there. Let's end it right there. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to see you at RAISE. Sponsor, in fact, of RAISE 2025 Auction Packages. So our thanks to you and them, and we look forward to seeing you in San Antonio in a few months.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, we're at the end of our day, day one, AFP Icon 2025. I'm your host here on Raise Nation Radio, live from the show floor. We're in the One Cause booth with Mallory Erickson. So good to see you, Mallory. You know I'm so excited to see you every year. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be here with you, too. I always love seeing you every year, so thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. I definitely wanted to bring you into this. We're here. We're on Raise Nation Radio. Dawn Lego, unable to make it this year. Sending her all the vibes, sitting in her place, trying to do my best. But listen, she would have wanted to ask you, for as many nonprofits as you speak with, as you work with, as you coach, what are you encouraging them to do in such a time as this? What are you trying to drive them to think about, to encourage them? And then maybe there's a second side of that question could be like some unlearning. What are some things that we want to encourage them away from in such a time as this? So take away. I'm excited to hear this answer.
So I think the very first thing is just connect with your donors. I think it's really easy. The unlearning and the what to think about are so intertwined here, I think there's a lot of fear around there's so much happening right now. Is this the right time? And so I just want to like bust all of those myths and say it is the right time for you to reach out to your donors. You should be talking to your donors. You should be connecting with your donors. You should be going deeper with your donors. And that is the first step. The first step is either picking up the phone, sending that email, sending that text message, whatever some of your multi-channel touch points are with your folks. Your folks want to hear from you, even if what you're communicating is an imperfect or not completely fleshed out plan to the moment that we're in. We saw during COVID how much donors want to be brought along for a journey, how much they want to be a part of our story, that they want to hear what's happening. They want to be let in. They want to be trusted to walk side by side with us. And I feel like we have another opportunity right now to do that. I feel like one of the things that happened as we started to really come out of that COVID time was we thought we needed to button it all up again. You know, we stopped that home feel with a kid on our lap. And I'm not saying we all want to not have childcare again, but I think there was an authenticity and a rawness to some of those moments that actually brought our donors so much more closely connected with us. And I feel like now is another time, as scary as it feels, for us to go there again. And I wish we had never lost it, you know, but I just want to encourage people to do those.
So we brought a little bit of the polish back and the presentation back, and maybe what you're saying in so many words is bring back a little more of the candor, a little bit more of here's what's going on.
Yeah, a little bit more of the unfinishedness, know, because I feel like nonprofit work should never be, yes, you can be polished, but you're never finished. You know, our work is change making. It is raw. It needs to be ever iterative and flexible and proactive and sometimes reactive. And that's the role we play in society. And I think that requires a level of releasing perfectionism and recognizing that what it means to really bring donors along means they get to see all of it and they want to, you know, not every single little detail about how your organization runs or every challenge you're having, but there's such a huge space between that and where we actually let our donors in. And I would love to see organizations taking more actions right now that bring their donors along.
Unless you wish to necessarily naming names, tell me what's an example where you've seen a nonprofit do that well? Maybe they're navigating that curve. Again, it's not finished. It's not perfect, but they're taking perhaps some courageous steps to navigate this journey.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, in the exact moment that we're in, some organizations that I've seen do things like this is they've called kind of like a town hall. They've said, hey, we don't have every answer right now to how we're going to respond to X or Y, but we want to be open with you about how we're thinking about it. We want to be open with you about the steps that we are taking. We want to hear from you if you have any thoughts or ideas about how we might respond particularly to this thing. And we just want to create an open forum. And yes, is there some risk involved in an open forum? There totally is. I think there's so much more opportunity, in my opinion. And, you know, that depends on the size of your organization and who you're inviting. I totally get it. But I think, you know, the organizations that I have that are doing things like that, they're watching their donors respond. They're watching their donors show up. They're watching their donors offer to help. and be a part of it in really incredible ways. And, you know, maybe you aren't going to host a town hall, but you're going to share some of that story in email. You're going to say, here's what we're thinking about. We want to acknowledge this moment. You might be worried about X, Y, and Z. Here are some things we're doing immediately in response. There are a number of other things we're still figuring out, obviously. Yes. You know, I think sometimes something happens and we're like, oh my gosh, we need to know exactly what to do 30 seconds after we get some announcement. And that's just not the case. And I think that raw authenticity, that information about how we're thinking about things and how we're starting the process to address things oftentimes is enough for donors to feel let in.
And I imagine, and I don't think this is too much of a stretch, I imagine that the majority of one's base is going to be super understanding of the fact, like, if they don't know necessarily what's going on in perhaps what I'll call societal issues, then how can they expect? I think they would be understanding to a nonprofit dealing with funding issues. Is that fair?
100%. I mean, look, there's always going to be that donor that asks you what your sustainability plan is in a moment of crisis. Okay. Like, but yeah, I don't think that's the norm. And I think the other thing to remember is that, you know, in moments of crisis, most people are also looking for how they can help. And, you know, 100%. One of the things, like, I, you know, research a lot is fear. And there are two things that help us decrease our fear. One is feelings of control. And the other is knowledge. And so if you're thinking that your donors might be really fearful right now, you have an incredible opportunity as a nonprofit to both provide them with some level of knowledge, even if it's just knowledge about how you're thinking about the situation. And you can give them a sense of control by inviting them to participate in building the world that they do actually want to see. And so we have the ability to decrease fear on a societal level to the moment that we're in, but it requires us to take action and it requires us to invite our people in.
This is becoming the big takeaway for me from day one, because our friends with the Fundraising Effectiveness Project were talking about this on the panel this morning. I believe it was Woodrow that was talking about agency. And I'm not just participating, but there is an agency where I have, and you use the word control, perhaps a little more, it's a fraction of control that I can impact. I can truly, truly impact. I'm not just donating. I'm not just, I want to say just giving, but I can do something about this situation. So therein is the control. And then the knowledge is just a matter of you sharing with me, where are you? How are we doing? How are you doing? How are we going to get through this? And it's okay if you tell me you don't know.
Yeah, because you're at least giving them knowledge about that you're thinking about it, right? And I just think both of those things decrease their fear. And when fear is decreased, we have more opportunity for connection and deepening relationships and everything that we ultimately want for our donors. And yes, you know, I think some people are like, well, there's so much we don't control. And it's like, yes, that's also true. But if we focus on that, how do we get up every day? You know, I think for me, when things feel really overwhelming, my daughter and I talk about finding the glitter, you know, and it's like, I think you just have to find, where is the glitter? How do you create glitter? You know, how do you find those little micro touch points or moments or opportunities to remind yourself that you have agency? And that's what builds momentum of people acting, taking actions over and over and over again. And ultimately, that is how we build the world we want to see.
I'm just going to say, I love the glitter thing. And I'm going to strive in the next 24 hours in your honor to be glitter for someone.
Bring the glitter.
Hashtag bring the glitter. Be the glitter. Always a pleasure talking with you, Mallory.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Awesome. And we are back here at the One Cause booth live at AFP Icon 2025. I cannot believe it's already 2025, but we are here. And the first interview that I get, you know, this guy is everywhere. I came down the escalator. He was there. I'm in the booth. I look across. He was there. Eric Tamales, we got you. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am great. I'm really excited about this year. I cannot believe we are, like, another year has gone by.
Yeah.
Here we are. And what a year. A lot going on.
Yep.
But it's the beginning of the conference, and you're here with the team?
I'm here with the team from Avid, and, you know, I refer to, I mean, this is, I've lost count, to be honest with you. This is probably my 15th AFP conference.
Goodness.
A longtime fundraiser. This is, to me, is like nonprofit nerd summer camp. So it's like a good reunion, seeing you on the escalator, seeing everybody come back, and like seeing the growth of what we've gone through last year to this year, seeing new partners and vendors that are in our space, getting to meet new nonprofit leaders coming in. And it's just, I haven't attended a session yet because we just started.
Sure.
I've all seen so many new faces and gotten to connect with so many new people, and I'm so excited.
It is. I share that excitement with you. Let's dive in. I'm excited to ask you this particular question because you live in tech, you eat and sleep and breathe tech, and Avid is, my goodness, there's a great perspective that we're gonna draw into this question. But if I were to ask you, Eric, what's one piece of advice you'd give to a nonprofit looking to make the most of their technology stack?
You know, it's a great question. And when you're thinking through it, is like, even sitting in the chair in my nonprofit, I was in a bunch of different nonprofits, both large and small. We just kept adding new technology to the problem that we have in our organization. But really, at the end of the day, we need to go backwards and identify what's the root cause of our problem. Like, so we have a CRM. So like, let's bolt on something else that really doesn't matter, or someone who was on our staff before bought that is no longer there, is really just taking a quick audit of what is on our stack right now and getting clear and concise data and getting that point across of what we needed.
You know, that is so smart to sometimes to go forward fast, you pause, look around, get a temperature for where we are and why. And sometimes in certain lanes of where we are and why, that's going well. And sometimes there are lanes, and let's just be honest, looking in the mirror, it's not always great. Tell me a little bit more about that nonprofit that is adding and adding and adding. How would you share that vision with them? How would you kind of cause them to pause?
I mean, I think about this with my wife. My wife has a small business, and I think for nonprofits, we still work in that nonprofit space, right? Like in that mindset of like, we have to do things cheap and slow and all the things.
Yes.
But we are a for-profit business underneath the guise of a tax code for a nonprofit business. And so the unique thing is like she just did this the other day. She said her entire team is quote unquote on vacation and didn't talk to a single client or customer for her business, but they got their house in order. They went in and got a new, you know, QuickBook accounting program, and a couple other different things. But they just reset the entire company. It's a company mindset versus just one off. And if you do this one off, you're not going to do it correctly.
Right.
And then the other side is what they did, and I recommend this across the board in our nonprofit space, is lean into consultants. There is a lot of great consultants that can do the advisory of like, what is a good ecosystem? Because, you know, I'll make the flippant joke is how many nonprofit tech businesses are in our space right now that start with donor. You know, like they're all confusing. And like us as a nonprofit leader, we don't know what everybody does, but we have to take that time to audit and see what the new tech is. Like Avid. Avid's so brand new, and it's there to help grow nonprofits and get that clarity through the chaos. But like, people don't know who we are yet.
Yeah. Well, give me a little bit about like, what's the value of looking into a solution like that? And I assume we can tie that back to the first question of how do we pause? How do we take stock of where we are? And our data is part of where we are.
Well, that pause piece, when you think about data, and we're talking data, those are humans. And at the end of the day, there are donors, there are volunteers, there are customers, are people coming to and taking our clients, all the different components of our nonprofit. Those are our most critical, because at the end of the day, giving is ultimately personal. And we need to be able to know who our constituents are to make those better choices for our tech.
Yeah, I love it. Eric? We got so much going on. I know you're a man on the go. Let's just call it right there. Tamales, everyone, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Juan Calls.
Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us here at the Raise Nation Radio Studio in the One Cause booth at AFP Icon 2025. I'm Steve Lausch from One Cause, and it's been an honor to host Raise Nation Radio, bringing you the voices, the ideas, and the inspiration that are truly elevating impact across the nonprofit world. Huge thanks to AFP and all of the incredible changemakers who joined us this week. Until next time, keep raising your voice, your mission, and your impact.